B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Tony Maserati returning to our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, Tony.
Good, you?
I'm just peachy. Thank you so much. What do you make of the Chris Sale situation? Let's start there, right off the top.
Okay, so I gave this some thought when I heard the news over the weekend. Obviously, I was out of town, but I tried to follow as best I could. And when I saw the Sale story, my initial reaction was, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me.
So can I ask you, which part, the part that...
That he was hurt.
That he got hurt in the first place or the news yesterday?
No, the news that he was hurt.
So dialing back over the weekend.
Right. Like, it was a perfect sort of development, A, given the way the year has gone, but B, also given the sales story. That the way they wrapped him in styrofoam and bubble wrap all year long, and then he has three good games in a row, and even the last one he faded at the end, obviously, but maybe we know why now. And all of that happens, and then he gets hurt again, which is evidence that, like, they, you know, again, the program with him didn't work. It didn't work. And then beyond that, there is now the long-term issue with Sale, which is really the bigger story. What a disaster that contract was. What a disaster. And when you look at all the bad signings the Red Sox have had over their existence, this one's up there, dude. This one might be near the top. Now, look, Carl Crawford's...
Really? You're going to put it in with Carl Sandoval. Crawford and Pablo Sandoval in that group?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because he was hurt during the offseason. He was hurt last year.
Well, they're claiming this is a whole new thing, Tony.
Okay, but again, I don't care. The point is that they had damaged goods. He had shown no ability to get through the season. He's going to be 31 next spring. All of that. There were all of these red flags with Sale that screamed, wait. Wait. Just wait until the end of the year. And if he leaves, he leaves. Fine, but wait. You're better off waiting than signing a bad contract.
And you say wait till the end of this season.
Correct. Wait until the end of the 2019 season and then make a determination. So now he's back. Now he hasn't even started the contract, and they still have no clue how to handle him, and he might need Tommy John still. Like, when I factor in all of the warning signs that were there ahead of time, oh boy, this one's up there. At least on the other ones, Sandoval was coming from the outside. Crawford was coming from the outside. Those guys were massive failures. Massive failures. But at least there was an unknown there because you didn't have them. Right? So you never know what a guy's really like until you get him and you have him in there every day and you can watch him over a series of weeks, months, and years. They've had this guy. They knew there was a shoulder issue. They knew they couldn't get him through the year. They knew all of this stuff, and they still decided to give him 5 years and $1.45.
So I have some developing opinions on this as well. We're going to start Red Sox and Chris Sale. Lines are open at 617-779-0985. And in case you haven't noticed, Tony Maz is back. Murray did a little something for you, Maz. Go ahead.
Oh, good.
Maz is back from his 1 week vacation. Takes on all the stuff he missed. Maz is back.
Actually, a little longer than a week.
All right, it was like 8 days.
Yeah, so, I mean, we got the point.
Maybe 10.
Maz is back, starting Red Sox and Chris Sale. When we got the news yesterday that he was quote-unquote okay, you know, I was convinced. I was talking all day yesterday. You know, this is Tommy John. You know, the tonality coming out of Cora and Dombrowski, I thought over the weekend, clearly pointed me in that direction. It just felt like they were all but saying, Yeah, he's got the torn UCL, and he just wants to confirm it before he talks to you guys. And that, I was convinced. So when the news first broke last night around 5 o'clock that it's just the inflammation and he's, you know, does not need Tommy John, I said, wow, I was wrong. You know, good news. Glad I'm wrong. Good news. Wow, this is good. You know, good for them. And then now the more that I think about it, I mean, it's really a lose-lose. So I don't know if there is a good outcome here. But and Marshall Hook, who was in yesterday, sort of hit on this. If it was the torn UCL, then you say, okay, there's a reason this has been going on. We know the reason. He's going to have surgery. It's a long one. It's, you know, 12 to 16 months or whatever it is. We won't see him till spring training of 2021. That's a long time. But at least you would have identified the problem. You would have done a known procedure that can fix the problem. And in this day and age, pretty much does. A lot of these guys come back stronger.
Sure.
And at 32, maybe he doesn't come back stronger, but at least he's sort of reset for a second chapter of his career in his 30s. And you can just sort of, you know, at least there's some...
It's a legitimately fixable problem if he has the surgery.
So now, but now, okay, so it's not that. Now it's, you still don't know exactly what's causing the inflammation, or you're not saying. It's still not an answer or a plan because it really just feels this is some sort of continuation from this time last year when he got put on the shelf and they're trying to figure out how to handle him with fewer innings, reduced workload, no spring training, rest instead of surgery. And does that really solve the problem? And it's really a continuation of this thing that we've had now for just over a year. So what have they really settled? And are you really out of the woods? And are you really just sort of guaranteed to stay in the woods with this thing? You see what I'm saying?
Of course. Yes. Like it just now it continues. It goes on. In a lot of ways, the worst case is to not have it. In some ways. And then, you know, on top of it all, there's still no guarantees out of the woods. All they said is they're going to evaluate him again in 6 weeks.
And so maybe because something is causing the inflammation. So maybe it is something with the ligament. I mean, they didn't really tell us whether there's ligament damage or not. There might be mild, you know, again, every pitcher has some sort of mild ligament damage in that elbow. It's just a varying of degrees. And you go ahead with the surgery. They didn't say whether there was, they never said there's no ligament damage.
No. In fact, if you want my gut opinion, what's going on here? He's got a partially torn elbow ligament. And Andrew said, look, you got a lot going on in there right now. So we're going to give you an injection. We're going to let this sucker calm down. We'll take another look in 6 weeks. And if it doesn't look any better, we're going to give you the platelet-rich plasma in the interim. And then if it doesn't look better, I would do surgery.
And the whole rationale is you can really wait those 6 weeks because all you're going to be missing then in 2021 is maybe spring training. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
You
know,
it's a year. So it's 12 to 15 months. You know, I thought it used to be a year and a half for these guys, but they've sort of dialed it back. It's 12 to 15 months. So these 6 weeks, yeah, that's going to hurt you on the backside of it if you have surgery in, say, November. But those 6 weeks are spring training. So maybe you see him then in May of 2021 versus March of 2021, something like that.
Yeah, the timing of the injury works in their favor.
You're not really blowing the 2021 season. You're blowing maybe the beginning of the 2020. But either way, you know, the whole, as soon as the good news sort of wears off, it's like, okay, now where are they? And it's sort of exactly where they've been for the last year plus. And I don't believe that this injury is unrelated. And, you know, was last year's shoulder and it led to the elbow or something? Just don't tell me it's unrelated. They've been trying to figure out what to do with the guy since this time earlier last year, right? When did he get shut down last year? Sometime in August.
Yeah, July 1st. It was July for the first time.
Okay, so it's been over a year where they've been going back and forth with the guy. So you're still in that place? You're still in that place.
Yeah, they're porked, if you ask me, with Chris Sale. They are porked. Like, I don't think you can expect this guy to be what he was without surgery. And the soonest you may see the real guy again is 2021. That's what I think. I think that this is bad. I think this is bad on multiple levels. And again, not the least of which is that boneheaded mistake that they made of giving him this contract. What a freaking blunder. What a mistake. Like that one, I'm serious. That's one I look at and say, given that he was here and that he had a problem, like that is borderline fireable. I do just that. I mean, I think it's that bad.
How does Henry fire himself?
Yeah, right. How can you fire the owner?
Because you know Henry was involved in that. And again, we've all heard the sound again, going back to the picnic tables, where John Henry says we blew the John Lester thing for various reasons that we're not going to get into. But you know Henry was heavily involved in that decision. So, Henry, so are you saying it's a Dave Dombrowski fireable offense?
Yes. But again, I mean, I'm just going by the guy who runs the baseball operation. The owner's not going to fire himself.
But that, yeah, it's by default, though, because John Henry, with this residual guilt with John Lester, is the reason that that deal got done in spring training. They should have waited.
Yeah, there's no question they should have waited. So now, again, I don't know. If I were them, boy, would I do some soul searching on this one. I would look at the medical staff. I would look at the baseball operation. I would look at the whole thing. Who the hell gave us the okay on this one? You had him in-house.
So you believe it is the injury is related?
I think that he was having problems surviving and that given the way he throws, it's impossible to not look at that elbow.
So, but when they were saying shoulder last year, you think the elbow was involved?
I think all of it was. I think that the whole arm, like that whole thing with him, the guy slingshots the ball, for crying out loud. His arm is perpendicular or parallel, rather, to the ground when he's in his delivery, his forearm. Tell me how many guys you see throw the ball like that. From the day they picked him up, we all said, boy, this guy's an elbow injury waiting to happen. Just look at him. Look at the stills. When you see it, you're like, that's not natural. So they had this guy in. He had a shoulder injury on top of it. Now you have another element. You had to know about it, the possibility of an elbow thing going in. He's slider dominant. He hasn't had the slider all year. I thought I read where Dombrowski made reference to he made a mechanical adjustment and now this happened.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So I'll go back and see if I can find it. I thought I read that over the weekend. And I hear all of that stuff and I go, this thing was a time bomb. This thing was a, how did they do that with this guy?
Does it impact their offseason of Mookie Betts and all that?
I think it forces their hand a little because you're stuck with Sale now. You're stuck with that contract. You're stuck with Price. They're going to need to free up money in some way, shape, or form. And the easiest way to do it is to deal Mookie. So if they, now I think they were headed that way anyway, but if there were any doubt, don't you have to go get some pitching? You have no young pitching in the system. You have none. You got a guy who's going to leave at the end of next year, who's a franchise caliber player. You have to deal him now. Like, it might hurt their trade leverage.
Okay. I'll just say again, I'm only trading if I'm getting back major league talent that helps my major league team. And if I'm sacrificing offense for pitching, but I net out to be a better team, I'll do it. But I'm not doing it to take a step back next year. I'm not doing that. I'm not hitting the reset. I'm hoping Price comes back, and I'm hoping the rest works with because this is what they've, I think they've painted themselves into this corner. I'm not hitting the reset button yet. I'm hoping that they have a rebound season next year, just like a lot of these teams do, up, down, like the Giants did for 6 years. I'm hoping that they're that team because that's how they're built, and that's how the highest payroll in baseball for 3 years running. They'll be right up there again next year, if not number one. It's not time for a reset.
No, ripping it apart's too strong. I mean, again,
I mean, I'm not trading bets just for kids, is what I'm telling you. I'm trading for you want to trade them for a Mets pitcher who can step right in? Fine. Okay, then I'll talk to you.
So they're going to get something on the cusp. They're going to get something close. It might be a guy who got to double A halfway through this year. Or, you know, I don't think they're going to get a big league ready, big league established arm. I doubt it.
Then I don't want it. Then I'm not trading Mookie Betts. Then I'm not doing that.
I am.
All right. Again, we're starting Red Sox and Chris Sale. 617-779-0985. Guess who's back? Hit it again, Jimmy. I like that. That was snappy.
Maz is back from his 1 week vacation. His takes on all the stuff he missed. Hey-la, Maz is back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I can't really tell you what's in his MRIs. That's personal information. But this was not in his MRI. This is brand new. This happened Tuesday. There's no question. That's what causes the inflammation. When they read the MRI, they know that it happened on Tuesday.
It's just hard for me to trust that, Mass, because there's so much at stake for Dombrowski and Henry, but Henry doesn't count because he ain't going to fire himself, as we said multiple times in the first segment. For Dombrowski to say it's a new injury, because if it's an old injury, then that just puts that spotlight even more on that extension. What the hell are you doing giving damaged goods $145 million guaranteed dollars? So he says, it's new.
Yeah, it's funny how all of a sudden he's forthcoming when the information benefits him, right? Like, that's the part that I find irritating about this guy, is that he's so full of crap. Now all of a sudden he's going to tell us, oh yeah, no, this is brand new. You know, this isn't my fault. Like, again, just like the bullpen wasn't his fault. The bullpen's been basically fine. What a load of crap. Seriously, what a load of crap. Now, you know, whatever it was, did he exacerbate the problem or did it get triggered in the last game? Of course. But to me, there had to be something going on in there. With his delivery, that guy felt like a time bomb from the day he got here.
We will continue and we will begin with your thoughts. That's what I meant to say. Chris in the car, lead us off today. What do you got?
How you doing? You know, big time listener, but first time caller. I just want to say, you know, I'm a huge Sox fan, partial season ticket holder. And when they signed Chris Sale, I was over the moon. I still think $145 million for a guy that caliber, I think it's worth it. I mean, you give up what? Worst case scenario, 1 year, he comes back. He's still the fastest guy to whatever it is, 2,000 Ks. I think it's a good deal. I remember you guys were all upset about the Porcillo trade with Lester, getting rid of Lester for, and then signing Porcillo for $100 million. And that worked out. If I'm recalling correctly, that was a $100 million deal. The guy won a Cy Young, has a World Series too. And I think that you guys are mistaken. You're being too rough on Chris Sale, and I think you're being too rough on Dombrowski. I think he came in there to sell the young players that they have, which I think he did a good job of doing. He got him to a World Series, and Chris Sale's playing his heart out. Not only that, last year you guys are all up on, you know, David Price. He's a $210 million man.
Hey, Chris, let's keep it to Chris Sale, okay? How can you possibly say that was a good deal?
Because he was the best pitcher on the market at the time, and you got to bring him back after.
No. I'm not talking about the trade. I'm talking about the extension. The trade, fine. I'll give you the trade. Absolutely.
But Dombrowski saying, hey, you know, something happened on Tuesday. Sure, I agree with you. His motion's a little bit weird, and you can tell there's going to be issues with the elbow, right? Maybe the 5 years is a little bit long, but it's his market. I mean, he's that type of caliber guy that you can bring into a World Series game one, game two, and he's going to shut the lights out if he's healthy. I think you got to trust a guy like that, and I think it brings more people into the organization, more big names.
All right, Chris, I'm going to stop you. Thank you for the call. A couple things. It wasn't Lester for Porcello. It was Lester for David Price. Why can't you have Lester and Rick Porcello?
Well, you could have.
You can.
It was Lester for Cespedes for Porcello.
No, but what I'm saying
right,
is...
Yeah, but right, I got you.
The money and the role, and yeah. You know, you went out and overpaid for Price because you let Lester go. So that was really the trade-off there, is what I mean on that. And on Sale, we'll see. If he were healthy and the same guy, $30 million, you're right, is going right. That's not a bad deal. He sucked in year one, and he hasn't got, I'm sorry, he sucked in year zero before he even got to year one, and now he's damaged goods going into year one. I mean, you feel good about that. I can't help you.
I just don't understand how you can justify the extension. He missed the second half of last year. He missed the second half of the season, basically. They told us nothing was wrong, and then he got hurt as soon as he started to ramp it up again. And I don't care if it's an elbow or not. The guy was a time bomb. For crying out loud, how do you justify that? I mean, are we really going to justify the extension when, and this is not a second guess, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
Many of us, not just me, many of us said in the spring, mistake. Mistake, they should have waited till the end of the year. Now it happens that way, and we're going to sit here and not pound the chest a little bit? It was a stupid mistake.
The other thing I would just quibble with his call is on Sale. He's the fastest to how many strikeouts?
2,000. Who cares?
I mean, really?
It's a product of the era.
What does that matter? But when you're 6-11 with a 4.4 ERA, what does it matter how many guys you strike out? You're losing your ball games.
Right. It doesn't matter.
Like, I could care less. I could care less how many guys you strike out if you lose.
I mean, you know, look, he's a strikeout pitcher. Great. But if you don't win, what good is it?
Oh, my God. Dan and Hingham. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I just wanted to say that I agree 100% with what you guys said about Chris Sale. And I questioned the signing in the spring as well. And I was just wondering your thoughts about dealing Mookie to the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves have either one of the top three or top five farm systems in Major League Baseball. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks
okay,
very
so,
much for taking my call.
I'll just start. Thanks, Dan. It's just I don't want to get into this thing where next year we're just going to take a step back and sort of reset this thing because Sale's hurt. We're going to trade Mookie Betts for kids and restock the system. We're going to blow out Dombrowski and bring in an inexperienced, who's the guy, Moreno, they're talking about?
Oh, Romero. Eddie Romero.
Yeah. First-time GM. We're going to put him on the job, and we're just going to, you know, carry a payroll like up north of 220 and be a top five, top three payroll in the game, but we're just going to reset the thing.
What if it's just for 1 year like the Yankees did in 2016? It didn't set them that
okay,
far
so
back.
I'd have to go back and know what their young players are, but that 1 year now, you're losing one more year of Devers on his rookie rights and Benintendi on his rookie rights. And what, you know, whatever you think of these guys, this is sort of the game they're playing.
No question.
You have
yeah.
team rights on this, you know, really this really good core that you drafted and developed. And this is where you got to make your hay. And when you have these payrolls, I'm not doing any reset years. I'm not.
So I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think it is. I mean, they're going to change the makeup of the team though. I don't think there's any question. So now look, if J.D. Martinez stays and Betts goes, offensively, they're going to be fine.
Yes, they will be.
They'll be fine. So the question is, how do they fix that pitching staff? And is their pitching staff going to be good enough without Sale? Let's just say Sale doesn't pitch next year. Can you replace Chris Sale? The answer is no. So that one, you're just screwed on no matter what.
So their staff as is next year, Price, Rodriguez, Eovaldi, is good. It's not great. It's not championship caliber. But it's, I don't know, top five in the AL.
Should be enough to get you in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, so you're sort of halfway there before you do anything.
Correct.
So, fine. You want to trade Betts for a pitcher that's going to help me, that's going to slide into that top three? Fine. I'll talk about it. But I'm not doing it just to reset the system right now.
No,
so you don't think much of their offense, though, but I thought you did.
What
it's not if they, it's not going to set them back that far if they're trading Betts for a pitcher that might not be ready till 2021. That's like Maz said, is, you know, currently in Double A, and it might take a year for them to come up to the majors.
They're not interested though in being an 84 win team or 85 win team. They're not interested.
But they'll
in that.
Still compete and be good. You just won't have a championship ceiling, but you'll still be in the mix next year if you trade him and you have to wait another year.
Yeah, but it might be the kind of year where they're not great in the first half and they're better in the second half.
I want a championship ceiling. That's the team ceiling.
Sure.
That's where we are. It's where we've been the last 3 years. Whatever this time frame is, 3 to 7 years, whatever. It's a championship window, and I want their ceiling to be a championship team. John in the car, you're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got?
I'm just talking about sales and price. This is a blessing for the Red Sox because now the Red Sox have to address their pitching staff, their dugout. You can't leave it all on your offense to score 10 plus runs. Now the dugout has to actually come out and actually pitch and not give up runs.
Okay, so it forces them to address their pitching. Fine, maybe that's a silver lining. This whole thing, though, and I've heard Matt McCarthy talk about this a lot. They've got to get to drafting, developing their own pitching. You know, there's a lot of teams that just never do that. You know, the Yankees. I mean, there's great trivia questions out there. Like, what's the last great Yankees pitcher to be drafted and developed by the New York Yankees? It's something like Whitey Ford. Like there's a trivia question out there related to that. Drafted and developed by the Yankees. Or maybe Ryan Guidry. I mean, I don't know. Like, there's...
I mean, Pettit. I would say Pettit. But again, like, I don't know what the criteria were. Mike, the Cubs.
Maybe it was Hall of Fame. Maybe it was what's the last Yankees Hall of Fame pitcher drafted and developed by the Yankees?
That makes sense.
It's something like that. Like, you know, there's a famous trivia question out there about the Yankees. The Cubs, you know, Theo bought all the Cubs pitching. I mean,
absolutely, he did.
A lot of teams do that.
Yeah, Cole Hamels, John Lester, like, same idea.
You draft and develop position players, you build the lineup through your system, and you pay for pitching.
Right, and you either do that in a trade or you do it in free agency, one way or the other. But that only works, again, if you pump out the players along the way. So there are a lot of teams that do it. The Red Sox have never developed pitching, really. I mean, again.
What's the last guy they did?
Lester, I think. Like, it really, and even
Buckles.
Then.
Even Lester was same era.
Yeah, even then it happens only once in a, you know, again, go right through that list of aces. You went from Clemens to Lester with all free agent guys in between or trades. Pedro, Schilling, Beckett, they were all trades and free agents. I mean, they were all trades.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I'm okay with that sort of that approach. That as long as you're pumping out players, you can get what you need. That's fine. But this, if you keep it to just this contract, because that's really what this is about. This injury would not be a big deal if he didn't have that contract. What a freaking mistake.
We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, Tony Mazz is back. We're talking about the Red Sox and Chris Sale to open up the program today. Our buddy Tom in Quincy has a thought. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, yesterday when I called you, Mike, right after I get off the phone with you, Wednesday announced that they were going to shut him down for the 6 weeks, right?
Right.
The call is today all over the map because one guy said it's a blessing, which I don't know what the hell he's talking about. I don't know how it's a blessing, but the other guy called and said that this gives them that it was a great extension. I don't know. I don't agree with either one of them on, you know, two total different ends of the spectrum here. My thing, in what possible way is it a good signing when he literally shut down for this year and may miss the whole first year of the extension that he'd actually start making that $30 million? So a blessing as far as he kept saying the dugout has to pitch. I'm assuming he meant the bullpen. I don't see it anything like that at all. I think the fact that they could have waited to the end of this year and extend him if they wanted to, they jumped the gun, and that may be revisionist because I think I agreed with it at the time, but I also didn't think that he'd be shelved for a year. So the fact of the matter is they win the World Series before any of that money and extension even kicked in. So I think guys are getting kind of twisted on that.
No question about Tom. No question.
It's a good point.
The championship was the old contract.
Yeah, people are mixing it up. Again, you want to tell me the trade was worth it? Fine. Yes, of course. I mean, he was a critical guy in that whole thing. And even though he got hurt last year, he was an integral part of the operation, right? So we all know that. The extension never should have been signed this spring. It should not have been signed.
Why'd they do it?
I think in large part because, A, they were desperate. They have nowhere else to go. I mean, they're going to have to sign a pitcher to replace him if they let him go.
I still think that's lower on the list.
Okay, and I think the bigger thing is the Lester mistake.
They overcompensated, chased their own tail.
Yeah.
Yep, we're not going to make that mistake again, and didn't look at the situations independently.
I mean, it just, they had the guy in-house, and he had a shoulder issue, and they gave him a $145 million contract before he threw another pitch. I mean, what planet are you living on?
Cam and Taunton, your thoughts.
You know, I heard some guy calling Jones last night and say this, so this isn't my take. It's true. He pitches like a closer. He's trying to strike everybody out. He's trying to overwhelm everybody. He has to be willing to pitch to contact. And this is 3 years in a row now. You said to reset the fact, this guy can't hold up. No matter what you do, no matter what program you put him on, you had him basically go out and throw soft toss for the first month of the year, and he still broke down. Eat a pizza, dude. Put on some weight. Dude, and you said this in the minute they were trying to trade for him, which was the offseason when they went into the year with no ace. This guy looks like an elbow waiting to explode. And it finally has.
So I don't think, Cam, I'm going to cut you off, Cam. I don't think he's going to be able to put on weight. I mean, if you can't gain weight at this stage, his body type is his body type.
No, that's right. Forget it. Randy Johnson never put on weight.
No,
it's a similar kind of build.
It's not going to happen.
No.
Question is, the whole pitch-to-contact thing, the whole league is going against pitch-to-contact. They don't want anyone pitching to contact.
Well, and the other thing is, what makes you think he can do it? This is sort of my thing with him.
Well, other pitchers have reinvented themselves.
Okay, but I don't know. But other pitchers are different than him. This guy's been a power strikeout guy his whole life. He's not Pedro. Like, this idea that he can live on the corners, and he doesn't pitch that way. He's never pitched that way. He's up there, and he wants to blow everyone away. That's what he is. Now, the only thing that I think is left for them to try is give him a break in the middle of the year. I thought they should have done that from the beginning.
You used to do it with Lester.
I mean, give him a break in the middle. He can't go a full season. So stop trying to do it and give him two half seasons.
Pat and Lowell, what do you got?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering. I don't know how much this relates to the John Lackey situation, because John Lackey, they signed him to a big deal, and for his first 2 years, he was just terrible. But he took a year off from Tommy John, and he was, in my opinion, the second best pitcher in the 2013 World Series run. Do you think that this could end up being beneficial? Like, do you see any hope at all, or do you think that his style and, like, his release will just hurt him too much?
So you sort of broke up there a little bit. What I said up front is I'm negative by nature. I was just, you know, finding a way to conjure up a negative angle to this. But honestly, I've evolved over the last 12 hours. When the news first came out last night that he's not going to have surgery, I'm like, oh, great news for them. But the more that I think about it, you know, I still think they're in this uncertain place. But it's lose-lose is what it really is. If he underwent the Tommy John surgery, he'd be out a year plus. You wouldn't see him until spring training of 2021. And who knows what he'd be at 32 years old with 3 years left, at $30 million guaranteed or whatever, 4 years left. Like, that's sort of scary. But at least you'd have some finality. This was what's wrong. We're doing a proven surgery to fix it. And now you have a chance to have a second chapter. So that would be the silver lining. Where they are now, they're in the exact same spot they've been, which is we don't exactly know how to manage it. We don't know how to get him through a season. There's something wrong with the elbow because something's causing the inflammation. That just doesn't come out of nowhere. So whether it's ligament damage or spurs or something, there's something in there that causes it to swell. And now he's in the same place he's been for the last 13 months, which is not the same guy, and we can't figure it out. And I feel like, I don't know, I woke up today and said, you're actually still in purgatory with this guy.
And what if he doesn't want to have surgery?
And there's guys like that too, right?
I mean, like Tanaka didn't. Tanaka didn't want to do it with the Yankees.
And they've sort of managed him through it now.
Right, but he's not the same pitcher.
And he's not the guy that they thought they were getting. That's,
I mean,
right.
Remember when they got him, he had gone 24-0 or whatever the hell it was in Japan. And then his first half season here, he had an ERA under 2 or something. I mean, he was awesome. Now he's just a middle-of-the-rotation guy. So is that what you're paying for? So do you want a middle-of-the-rotation guy? And if he misses all the next year, your five-year deal for 145 just became a four-year deal for 145. Now you're paying him $36 million a year.
So, and the whole reinventing yourself thing, I don't know. I mean, I think he has to. It's just the whole game has gone away. They don't like anyone pitching to contact anymore. It's all about strikeouts.
Yeah, and again, I'm not sure he can do it. I think that they've tried to get him to do it, and he can't do it. I think that's part of the reason you're seeing the home runs go up.
Okay.
I mean, the ball's jacked. We all know that. But there are other guys who pitch well with the jack ball.
We've started Red Sox and Sale. We'll continue throughout the day and continue with your calls on Sale and the Sox. Maz Isby, he was gone for like something like 17 days or something. I haven't seen the guy in forever. Did you get home in time last night to watch the Monday Night Football game by any chance, Maz?
No, I'm just kidding.
Did you see who was playing?
Oh, no, no, I'm aware who was on the field.
You are. Murray, did you happen to watch Monday Night Football last night?
Did I?
Okay, so we'll get to that right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Third down, Garoppolo back, looking left, throws into a crowd, and it's intercepted by Yadam. Isaac Yadam stepped right in front of Marquise Goodwin. There was a crowd there, and Yadam on Jimmy's second attempt of the night intercepts him.
Yeah, that's not good.
Third and 8, 49ers in the Denver 47-yard line. Garoppolo in the shotgun, 2 receivers right, 1 left, Coleman in. Garoppolo pressure throws, almost got intercepted again.
Bosby was all over it, should have had himself an interception and a pick 6.
long commercial-free segment. No spots here for a good 20 minutes. Perfect time to stick around or give us a call. Let's get to some football. You happened to catch a game last night, Maz? I know you're out of town.
I'm sorry. Did you say something? You got to say something?
Did you happen to watch the ball game last night?
No, I didn't catch the game. No, what happened?
I can't believe you spent money on that crap.
What are you talking about?
You're watching on NBC Sports. Boston Maz has a certain uniform, shall we say.
With headphones. Got holes for headphones.
Did you happen to watch the game? You know? You didn't catch any of this?
No, I saw highlights of the game. I didn't see the actual game itself. Go ahead. What happened?
I did. There's only so much Bachelor in Paradise one man can watch. And then I saw people tweeting about this. I was like, oh, that's right. Football's on. Let me go. Oh, look who's the starting quarterback tonight for the Niners. Look who's making his comeback from the torn ACL because dummy couldn't get out of bounds last year. Jimmy G, the Italian Osweiler. Oh, oh, this was so good. I thought I enjoyed last week's news of five straight interceptions at practice. This in real time.
He sucked pretty bad. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He sucked.
One for six, 0 yards, one interception. And I guess, you know, his passer rating was, again, what was it, Dean Wormer?
0.0.
But I guess they have something called an uncapped passer rating. His uncapped or real passer rating or whatever advanced metric passer rating was -53.5. That doesn't sound good.
No, that's not very good.
0.0.
And I happened to watch this, my Italian stallion over there. And let me tell you something. Scary. I'm not going to, obviously it's stupid to jump to conclusions on one preseason game, good or bad.
He don't look right though.
But if I am a Niners fan, I'm scared. I'm scared to death about that knee injury crawling into his head because he looked different back there.
Oh, yeah. No. He was falling backwards on everything.
And he, you know, one of the things you say about him is that he had nice footwork and nice little athleticism. And for a guy with not a lot of experience, he sort of had a good feel back there. And he looked sort of natural back there, I'm saying previously. And could sort of worm out of, you know, trouble a little bit, find his throwing lanes, and just had a feel in the pocket and a feel back there that I felt, you know, was instinctive for him. And that was totally out the window last night. Totally standing rock hard statue in the pocket. No feel for where the rush was coming from. And just standing in there waiting for it to get deflected or picked. He looked like a different guy to me, man.
He looked afraid is what he looked.
Oh.
Yeah, and there was one highlight I saw in particular where he started to get pressure from the blind side. And he had an open pocket in front of him to step up in. And he did not step up and make that throw.
At all, that's what I'm saying. So he didn't feel pressure. He didn't adjust to pressure. He didn't move with it. He just sort of stood there.
He was treating the football like a time bomb.
Ooh. Ooh, scary, man. Scary.
See, I personally look at this as being a no-lose situation for yours truly. Either Jimmy G is going to come back raging and rip apart the league, or he's going to suck. They're not going to pick up the roster bonus on April 1, and guess who's coming back to Boston, Murray?
He ain't going to be back here.
Oh, you want to bet?
This is a pipe dream.
Oh, you want to bet?
Bill would pick him up in a second.
Of course he would.
Yeah. Second.
And he will fail here because he stinks.
Well, now that's the second thing we're talking about, but we just said, would he have a chance to come back here?
Oh, good. Fine. Then I'll make sure I'm there every day to boo him and root against him.
Why? No. Do you do it just because Maz likes him? That's primarily
Because of this nonsense. Let me buy the helmet and the jersey because I so desperately wanted him to usurp Tom Brady as the quarterback here. I've seen enough Brady. The story's boring to me now. Get him out of here and bring in handsome Ryan Mallett. I'm good. I will root against Jimmy Garoppolo forever. Forever until I'm in the grave.
That's an insult, Murray. Comparing him to Mallett is an insult. But it, crying out loud.
To me, it's also instinctive. Instructive, what I mean to say. How just sort of tenuous that position is, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo here looks like he's an NFL quarterback. Now, give him a knee injury, give him a different coach, you know, and it's, you know, in fairness to him, that Denver defense looks like it's, you know, this Chubb.
Oh, yeah, for real.
Oh, my God. They got another Von Miller on the other side of them.
They got two of them now.
They got two of them. That Chubb. Oh, wow. So, you know, you're in Denver. Those guys are going. That San Francisco line was not ready to go. But so anyway, you just take a guy out of one system, put him in another, give him an injury to stick into his head as well, put some pressure on him. And it's like all of a sudden, it looks like the guy can't play the position. And it's like, oh, oof. If I'm a Niners fan, I'm scared. If I'm you, I'm scared, Maz. If I'm you, I'm scared.
I'm not scared at all. I'm telling you, I think this is setting up just the way the Patriots want it. I'm not. How did Brady look the year after his knee injury?
Okay, so ESPN did a good job with this today. I was watching again the Greenberg product, and it's like they looked at Brady in 09 after his knee injury, Carson Palmer in 06 after his knee injury, and Carson Wentz last year after his ACL, and all those guys, toilette. I mean, 09 might have been Brady's worst year.
I'm telling you, I'm not joking about this. I think it's setting up well for the Patriots. I think Garoppolo, there's a good chance he's going to have a disappointing year. And then there's no way the Niners pick up that bonus. He hits the market, and who do you think the first guy in line is going to be?
Murray, who's the first guy in line?
The guy who keeps incessantly texting him, probably even last night, too.
Where do you think Maz got his Garoppolo gear from?
Right, yeah. I can give you a discount, Maz.
Bill goes to bed in that stuff every night.
We bought him in bulk with a pants tent.
Use promo code MYYOUNGKING, eggplant emoji.
I'm telling you. And you know what? If Garoppolo's coming off a bad year and a bad experience in San Francisco, and he's looking for a place to resurrect his career, and Bill knocks on the door, where do you think he's going to go?
Oh, heartbeat.
Oh, he's coming back, please. This is setting up perfectly for the Patriots. He's coming back.
If you're just joining us again, Maz was out for like 24 days or something. He's back, Jimmy. Let me hear it again. Let me give him time to take off his helmet, please.
Maz is back from his 1 week vacation. Takes on all the stuff he missed.
Hey-la, hey-la, Maz is back.
All right, Maz, any more Patriots thoughts?
Yeah,
how about the game? Like, what's your lead Patriots take after those first two preseason games, especially Saturday night?
Well, look, first of all, there's been I haven't been here since Stidham took the field the first time. I missed, you know, I haven't been here to talk about either preseason game. I thought he was pretty good.
You've been gone that long.
I have.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Good God. Go ahead. Okay. Go. Go. Good Lord.
So the first preseason game, I thought Stidham looked pretty good. I thought he looked pretty good. The last one, ooh, did he suck. So let's not get too crazy. There might be a little something to work with there. He's probably better than Ryan Mallett. I think we can say that with some level of certainty, but I don't know that what he is yet. I don't think anyone knows what he is yet.
I disagree with you on the last game. He was better than he was. Did you watch all the way to the end? Did you watch the last series?
I did not.
Okay, so that's a problem. And I'm not blaming you for it. It's, you know,
I checked out by the end.
Okay, 10 minutes left in the preseason. I get it. Go watch him on the last drive. Go watch him on the last drive. I'm not joking. I know he's going against second and third stringers, but they started the drive on their half yard line, and they're down whatever 2 points with 10 minutes left in the fourth, and he was terrific. 7 for 7, 79 yards, calm in the pocket, like all these things. And I agree. Earlier in the game, he could have had 2 or 3 pick sixes going the other way.
Oh, he was garbage early.
No, you know, no question. Held the ball a little long, telegraphed some stuff. I'm not going to argue with you there. With the money on the table. Ooh, he looked good.
So, look, I'm telling you, I think there's something to sort of wait for there. Let's see what happens. I told you, I don't think he's a bum, but I also think, like, let's not go crazy over the one game.
Let me ask you, Murray, you have one quarter, the same price. You can have him for the same price, Garoppolo or Stidham, to be your backup going forward to develop behind Tom Brady. Who do you take?
Stidham. For spite only.
Okay, so yeah, fine. At least you qualify.
Yeah. No, I'll be honest. Yeah, it's for spite only. I don't want Garoppolo back in New England. I'll build a wall if I have to. He ain't coming back here.
Oh, he's coming, Murray. He's coming back. I got news
for
you.
Wall.
Yeah.
I'll start a Patreon. We keep Garoppolo out.
You admit, okay, so fine. So if they get Garoppolo back at a cheap price, you'd rather have Garoppolo, other than the Maz nonsense, Garoppolo and your take committed. We're not going that far with Stidham yet.
No, definitely not. Murray is, but no one else is. I'd take Garoppolo over Stidham in a second.
I don't know. Those of us that have working eyes and feel like Garoppolo has been overrated from, you know, Jump Street, yeah, I think he'd give the new kid a shot here.
But I will say, relative to all the other backups that they've had over the years and guys they've drafted, you know, Kevin O'Connell, Mallett, like, go right down the list. It feels like there's more here. There's more here with this kid. So there's some stuff to like. There were some throws in the last game, though, that were horrid.
No question.
So again, but that point, you know, to me, that's obviously one of the big sort of stories here in the early part of camp was Stidham. The other one, I think, I mean, there were lots of them, but the other one that sticks out to me is the defense, and particularly the pass rush and the interior. So Winovich has been great. You know, and he's been fun to watch. But some of these guys in the interior that I've never heard of, man, they are bringing guys up the middle. They are. I don't know if this is going to be a regular thing now or what. But the idea that this could be a really good defense and that they're going to come after quarterbacks, and they did more of it last year, but it'll be a continuation of last year, or it's hard not to like with all the players they have on defense. In the time that he was on the field in the first game, I thought Collins looked pretty good. So to me, there's a lot of reasons to look at that side of the ball and feel like, okay, they get something working there.
Yeah, but just to reset my take from yesterday, is I just like the overall number of young guys who've popped, which is, again, means nothing yet, but so we're just going on two games, and this is what I've seen. You know, I've seen Damian Harris already look better than Sony Michel. I saw Isaiah Wynn look like he belonged the other night. Winovich, you can't block. You know, the backups anyway, when he goes against second and third stringers, he's like unblockable. Jacoby Myers against second and third stringers is uncoverable. I mean, how many young guys have I just mentioned? You know, I thought our guy Jawan Williams there looked good in this last game, second round pick. And so there's five just off the top of your head that I think, and never mind the freaking punter who, like, I don't know why I'm so excited about this punter, but he's freaking out of control, this guy.
That free kick. He barely stepped.
Okay. So, right. That was my take. It was effortless. It was like a golfer three-quarter swing driving at 330 yards. It was so freaking smooth, and TV didn't do it just. But you know what? Let's pick this up on the other side, because I think the punter thing speaks to a bigger issue with the team and a bigger takeaway with this team. So we'll get back to your calls, Sale and Patriots, and we have this some other Patriots stuff to get to as well after Murray's 90-second update. Speaking of the Patriots, there was some breaking news with the team today, and Tom Brady has added yet another receiver. Details here, no commercials. We come back and discuss it all.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.